Saving and everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Best Air Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Best Air products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. To United stands, this is the latest Manchester United transfer news.
Just realised it might not start on there. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the United Stand. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United transfer news this morning. I hope you're all doing very, very well. I've got a bit of sound on there. Lots to talk about on the show this morning. Are Manchester United in a sell-to-buy situation? We've got updates on Harry Amass, Xerxes, Mazraoui, also incomings involving Lewis Hall, Watkins. Also, so much to talk about. Centre-backs, what's happening with Xerxes? What's happening with the midfield situation, which is the one that I'm most interested in, if I'm being completely honest? And yes, where is the green? I'm out in the garden today. We were on tour last week with a beautiful balcony view, so I thought I'd give you an update on what the UK looks like at the moment. This used to be green, green grass. I used to have that Pratt walking along. What was his name? George Ezra. He used to be walking along the garden going green, green grass. He's disappeared now because it ain't green. This is welcome to the UK. We're parched. We're thirsty. We're really thirsty. But yeah, lots to get into on the show this morning. Make sure you smash a like, get involved as always, share the video. But I want to be like, you know, we are the biggest and we are the best. And I do want to bring in your comments and comments that we see as well as the news as well. And I just want to run this by, and we'll come back to this. This was from an account called United District, and it's a genuine tweet. They said, basically, good recruitment from Manchester United. Tielemans is a proven Premier League player. Santos is up and coming but experienced. Thompson is an experienced number two. Darlow is an experienced number two. And Thompson is a future star. Or words to that effect. Good recruitment from the club. That's what you're up against. That's what you're up against, in my opinion. That's what you are up against. You're up against people who think that we're having a good transfer window. We'll come back to that. But look, it's a news show. Let's get into that this morning. What's going on with Watkins? What's going on with Shaw? But I want to start off with the midfield, because there was an interesting article in The Athletic this morning in their deal sheets. And they were basically saying that Man United will sign a third midfielder, which I'm absolutely convinced that we will. But what's left? This is what, you know, Man United will sign a third midfielder. When are we planning on doing that? Who will it be? Because when you think about it, I'd say a week and a half ago, I would have said Kone or Scott. Today, I would say we're not advancing on Kone. We've held talks, but we're not advancing. Scott is moving closer and closer to Chelsea. So if you are a believer, or you're a berg, an iceberg or whatever you're calling yourselves, they are not players that United want to sign. But neither was Tielemans and Santos. So are we moving down the list? That's what I'm going to say. Are we moving down the list here? Because Scott and Chelsea is getting closer and closer. Which, I'm sorry, Morgan Rodgers and Alex Scott is a good transfer window for them, regardless of whether they ruin it by signing Jordan Henderson. And more I see of Matheus Fernandes clips, and it is only clips. I think we've missed out on a good player there. I think Tonali, we've missed out on a good player. I think Elliot Anderson, we've missed out on a good player. I think Bruno Guimaraes, we've missed out on a good player. And so. And we end up just moving down this list. So this third midfielder that we will sign, are we actually fast approaching this third midfielder just being almost an object that we will sign? Because we're just moving down the list again. It's the same thing that happened with Tielemans, and it's the same thing that happened with Santos. We're moving down the list from what we really want to what we can possibly get. So look, I literally said it in The Athletic this morning that Chelsea have already bid for Alex Scott and are likely to go back in again. So I don't know who that third midfielder is going to be. If you'd said to me a week and a half ago, I would have said, well, we're in talks with Kone. I think that deal can happen, but we seem to have slowed down on that one. And as Joey says, the silence is ridiculous in a sense, which it certainly is. We can come back to that midfield situation, but I know that that's the priority for so many people. And whilst no news is sometimes what people say, well, there is news. It might not be United doing anything, but the closer Alex Scott moves to Chelsea, it's another one off the list, isn't it? And you work down the list again. Who knows? Who knows? We'll have to wait and see what develops. But we're nearly halfway through another week, aren't we? And United are very, very, very quiet. Where it's not quiet, and I want to just talk about Ollie Watkins very, very quickly, is that, Aston Villa are not really a football club that lets contracts run down. Aston Villa have done a very, very good job at operating at a certain level whereby they're better players they will cash in on and replace and still get into the top five and still get into the Champions League and still win trophies. Aston Villa's model should never be Man United's model. I'm not saying that in any way, shape or form, but their model works very, very well for them. Morgan Rodgers would be a player that if you were Manchester United or Arsenal or Liverpool, you would never, ever want to sell. Certainly not to Chelsea. But for Villa, that's their model and they make a lot of money from it. They did it with Grealish. They did it with Jacob Ramsey. They did it with Douglas Luiz. They've done it with Morgan Rodgers. So when it comes to Ollie Watkins, he has got and has been close to leaving them a couple of times before. He has only got 2 years left on his contract. And now probably is the time for Villa to cash in because if they wait another year, the value is going to go. So I do think that Ollie Watkins leaving Aston Villa this summer is a distinct possibility. So I would just frame it like that because there are people out there going, oh, Villa won't sell him. Well, they will. They will. Villa are a selling club at the right time. And unless they're going to give him a new contract, which I don't actually think they would, I think now is the time that Watkins would want to go. And I think it's the time that Villa would like to sell. So does that mean that Manchester United can sign Ollie Watkins? We're not going to sign Danny Welbeck. He's probably going to sign for Chelsea. I was just saying I'd take Danny Welbeck over nothing. Would I take Danny Welbeck over Ollie Watkins? No, I wouldn't. Do I think Ollie Watkins would be a useful player for Manchester United? Absolutely, of course I do. Do I think Man United have got the money to do it? Yes, I do. Do I think Man United will do it? Well, they were looking at him last summer. Do I think it's a straightforward deal for Manchester United to do? Yes, I do. So look, the stance is that yes, I think Manchester United can do it. I certainly think Villa will look to do it. And you'd probably do it for around £30 to £40 million. But, beyond that, and it has been mentioned this morning again, there's a lot of deals that Manchester United can do, as we know. Whether they'll actually step forward and start doing it, I don't know. And look, I do agree with this super chat here from, who's this from? Big. Big says, the silence is deafening. All roads lead to Belabor. Been saying it for 12 months. We will sign Belabor for 80 million and a bottle of champers. Well, fortunately, I mean, it's a new show, but fortunately, when it comes to Belabor, there is no reason to think that Man United are going to sign him because we're not pursuing that deal. The desperation comes from his side. It's not something Man United are looking to do. Whether we might be looking to do that in a month's time as we get more desperate, we've been down that road before, haven't we, with Anthony and everything else. Mole says the intro better not get edited. Well, the brilliant thing about doing these shows outside is that I've got absolutely no concept of when I go live. So I was actually just messing around and didn't realize that I thought it would go live on this screen and it went live on that screen. The sun's coming out again. I can feel it on my back. Lovely stuff. I think in relation to Ollie Watkins, that's one to monitor. But, I don't know whether anybody else feels like this, but the enthusiasm and excitement of this transfer window has died for me. It has. I think you go into the summer transfer window like I did at the start of June with optimism and excitement. And I'm sort of at a point now where I'm bored of pre-season. I think it's a waste of time. I think pre-season is a playground for idiots. Personally, I just think the hyping, the pre-season Pirlo nonsense is annoying. I think we've got a very easy start to the season. So I'm almost like, I just want to get the season started and see what the reality is, because I just think that this transfer window is indicative of a football club that doesn't give a shit about its fans. just genuinely doesn't care about its fans at all. And we can argue about transfers, but they just genuinely do not care about their fans. They've got no respect for them. They don't look to look after them. They just look to manipulate them. And, you know, what's the point getting excited? They've got no interest in entertaining us at all. Everything they do is strategic around making money. Patrick Lynch says, the deals feel like a tactic. Sorry, we can't take Scott. They've been taken. But look, we got Berg, Belabor, whoever. No doubt the inaction will be dressed up as competence and being savvy. It's very annoying. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Look, before I talk about Lewis Hall, I don't know. And the big story this morning, actually, I want to talk about, and I'm going to pump this up higher because I think it's more credible, relevant, and important than any signing this morning. I think it's the sale of Harry Amass. I do want to talk about that. But just going back to what Patrick was saying there about it, you know, it being annoying and dressed up as confidence. Exactly. I think that, you know, that there is this constant re-engaging of the standards of Manchester United, isn't there? You know, we came into this summer transfer window with a very clear idea of what we wanted to do. And ultimately, the standards just keep getting lowered. I mean, you go back to that post I mentioned at the start. And I don't know how these people's brains work. We're operating at a higher level. How you can have an account as big as UTD District and have people running it who genuinely think we're having a good transfer window. Even Man United don't think they're having a good transfer window. And I think they've got their nose so far up the club's arse that they can't smell anything else. But even Man United don't acknowledge they're having a good transfer window. So why defend them? You know, all these prats who go out there defending the club thinking they're going to get an interview or access or information, which they won't, by the way. You're defending something the club don't want to talk about. Like, the club don't think they've had a good transfer window. The club don't think that at all. They just want the season to start and the window to close. But there's people who defend it when the club themselves aren't cheering about it. I mean, the club aren't running around saying, yeah, we've had a great transfer window. They know they haven't. They've been publicly humiliated by saying they wanted Elliot Anderson and missing out, saying they wanted Mateus Fernandez and missing out. The Edison thing made them look a bit foolish as well. So I don't even know why people would defend it. And also beyond that, I don't know what it is. You know, occasionally you look at social media and you go, why is this a thing? And last night there was a lot of people talking about how bad Amorim was. And fair play, I looked at some of the replies and people were like, what are you talking about Amorim for? He got sacked in January. We're in the middle of a transfer window where our board are messing up again. There are multiple things actually happening, like a stadium being pulled down, fans having their season tickets taken, increased ticket prices. The club's an absolute mess, and people are doing Amorim propaganda. And this is what I mean about the sinister side of Manchester United. I don't believe in conspiracies, but there are accounts out there that seem to be doing the Glazers' work, still banging on about Amorim. You know, Beth thinks Amorim was shit. I don't. We don't spend time talking about it. It's irrelevant. He's gone. He's AC Milan manager. I wish him all the best. You know, if Ollie gets a job, I wish him all the best. He's not relevant to where Man United are at the moment. It's just deflection tactics, isn't it? But we can't deflect away from this. This might be a little bit niche. If it is, we've got some interesting stuff to come up in relation to the left wing. We'll talk about Lewis Hall, of course. Xerxes, no centre-back coming in. But this caught my eye today, and it was in The Athletic, that Harry Amass could be leaving Manchester United for £6 million. Now, look, I predicted this in January. I actually remember saying this a few times. United, because Harry Amass had a reasonably good season. If you follow football and you follow your club, you'll know this, because Amass started off at Sheffield Wednesday, did really, really well. And then I think he went to Norwich. Had a very, 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 very good season in the Championship, and certainly, you know, would be a player that clubs will be looking at, especially in the Championship. And I said in January, we'll cash in for about 10 million here. because there will be clubs that go, we want Harry Amass, whether it's Birmingham City or Wrexham or Sheffield United or whoever. People will actually want Harry Amass because he's a young, proven left back. He's literally played for two teams in the Championship and done really well, and he's still very, very young. So people will look at Harry Amass and go, yeah, we'll definitely take him. Lo and behold, a story comes in today that he is now, you know, and it's The Athletic, so it's credible. He is now a player that Manchester United are looking to cash in on. I'm not about this. I'm not about this. And I think that there are those who bury their heads, not in the sand, but between the bum cheeks of the Glazers and Ineos. But this is exactly the model that I fear. You know, like Thompson coming in from Spurs, people go, oh, he could be our left winger by October. He could be in the England squad by November. You know, he could be the next Ronaldo. Well, he's not, is he? He's not. What Man United are looking to do and what Man United are doing here is they are trying to buy young players that you bring them in at like a million and you turn them around to 10 or 6 in 2 years. And it's 5 million profit. We're exactly doing this here with Amass. And you know what? This is why I'm starting to lose interest in the Kones and the Orozcos and the Obis and the Thompsons, because I can see what we're doing here. Nothing United do under Ineos fits with what I think Man United should be doing. I think Man United should go out and buy the best players to make us the best team in the world. I think Man United should buy the best young players to put them in the team. But everything they do is opposite to what I think we should do. And I think what we're doing is we're buying a lot of these young players that I'm sure some of you get very, very excited about. But actually, I can see through it. I think it's a bit of a... A chicken farm or a cattle market. You know, it's you basically buy the calf, fatten them up and sell them for a profit. And I think that's what United are doing here, because what was the point in signing Harry Amass if we're just going to put him in the Championship, he's going to do really well, and then we're going to sell him for 6 million? Why are we not looking at him and going, well, you know, Luke Shaw at that age wasn't particularly, you know, amazing, and look at what Luke Shaw became at 25. Why are we not following these pathways? And also 6 million, I'd almost say get stuffed. Like, I'd almost say, what is the point in bringing a player in from Brighton at 16 and then shipping him out at 19 for 6 million? What's the bloody point? Are we that desperate for a couple of million now that's the project? And I feel that this is probably what we're going to start to see more and more of. It's bringing in young talent that's cheap, loaning them off to the Championship and turning a profit. And we never see them. As United fans, they may as well not. They're not relevant to us as fans. They're part of the mercenary running of the football club, because, you know, what have we seen of Amass, really? Comes into the club. Oh, he could be a future left-back for the club. Goes out on loan. He could be a future left-back for the club. Does well on loan. He could be a future left-back for the club. Comes back from loan and you ship him out. They may as well not be Man United players. May as well have a feeder club. They're a waste of time. They're a waste of our time if that's what we're going to do with these players. If we're just going to go, well, you know, they're never going to get a chance. And look, I'm not saying that Harry Amass is the solution for Manchester United at left back. I wouldn't expect him to be the solution at left back yet, but in a couple of years he might be. I don't get it, but as a fan, I sort of look at it and go, what's happening to my football club? Like, this is not really what Manchester United are meant to be about. So do I think 6 million is a good deal? No, I think it's shit. I think if Manchester City had Amass and he'd been on loan at Sheffield Wednesday and Norwich and done well, they'd be getting 15 to 20. That's basically what Man City turn around for these types of players. So yeah, I think it's massively disappointing, if I'm being completely honest. And I would be
Save big on everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Vestair Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Vestair products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
I'd be concerned about this. I would be concerned about this because I do question, like, you know, I was reading about this Thompson lad that they brought in. There was a bit in the article about in the Athletic about it, and it fits in nicely with Amas. And it was basically saying United appear to be looking for players on the cusp of breaking into senior football. They see it as good value. Probably, you know, a player that if things go really wrong, they could use him. Rashford's back as well, so you've got Thompson and Rashford who can play on the left hand side with Dorgu and Cunha, which means Man United can now focus on a left back. But coming into the summer, we were going to focus on a left winger and a left back. So, you know, Thompson now suddenly is a player that almost becomes an option on the left wing. When reality is, I think he ends up training with the under 21s, going out on loan, and in 18 months, we sell him to Cardiff for 7 million or something like that. I think that's probably what we're looking to do with a lot of these players at the moment. So look, I'm disappointed with it, but I don't really know, you know, what more can be said, because it's disappointing. And look, I'll be honest, I did have high hopes for Amas, but you know. Anyway, we move on. Let's talk about Lewis Hall, because again, he has been mentioned by Manchester United, sorry, in the Athletic this morning, as a viable option for Manchester United. And certainly a player that if he becomes available, Manchester United will move on. You could lead on Lewis Hall. You could regurgitate our story about him, about a transfer request. Over the last 24 hours, I've seen a lot about Lewis Hall. And my genuine feeling is that I'm not too sure what I'm supposed to be saying here. I don't know what I'm supposed to say, because it's the 28th of July. By the time we play our preseason game on Saturday, Kiel says Carrick is on board with the Amas sale. I don't really want to bring Michael Carrick into it, Kiel. I just to go back on that, you do raise a good point, and I purposely swerved it because I didn't want Carrick to be the manager. I have huge concerns about him. But I almost want to leave Carrick alone until the season starts. I don't want to bring Carrick into this transfer mess. I almost want to leave him out of it. But I do have to say this. When Solskjaer was coach, I said it a few times, for a guy that loves the club, what does he do with his morals deep down when he knows the Glazers are killing it? You know, he scored all these important goals. He's definitely a legend. But what? How did he square off being a Glazer puppet? Because people can predict what they like, but I wouldn't work for the Glazers. It's way more valuable to me to say, up yours, you've ruined my football club. It's way more valuable to me to do that. But, you know, Solskjaer being Man United manager, probably all take the job in that situation, and Carrick's done the same. But at a more basic level, is Kiel right? You know, Michael Carrick is meant to understand what Manchester United's all about. Well, bringing in young players and flipping them for a bit of profit isn't what Man United's all about. So, you know, why are we on board with this? And where did it come from? Jason Wilcox has got no blueprint of being a Man United player. Neither has Berada. So where's this mentality coming from around Manchester United to flip players for profit? I don't know. But look, going back to Lewis Hall, the Athletic this morning saying that if Lewis Hall becomes available, Man United will be right there. But look, there's two ways of reporting this morning. Oh, are we going to sign Lewis Hall in the next 5 weeks? Well, we need a left back. Maybe we will. And, you know, without doubt, if we sign Lewis Hall, I'd be very excited. You know, I wouldn't pretend I wasn't. I would be very, very excited by signing Lewis Hall. So could Man United sign Lewis Hall? Let's get excited. Let's wait and see. Let's hope he puts a transfer request in. Oh, Lewis Hall to Man United and all that jazz. But then a large part of me wants to say what I'm about to say, which is, why is this any different to Elliot Anderson? We spent 9 months being briefed by The Athletic, David Ornstein, Fabrizio Romano, Ben Jacobs, every credible outlet that Elliot Anderson was Man United's priority. 9 months. And then, you know, and it was 9 months. It started last September and it continued all the way till June. And then we didn't do it because it was too expensive. We then had 3 months of Matheus Fernandes. We had about 2 weeks of many credible journalists and ITKs telling us that his priority was Man United, and he signed for Tottenham. We had about 3 months of Tonali, and he signed for Tottenham. We had about 3 months of Tchouaméni being the dream signing, and he signed a new contract at Real Madrid. So why would we sit here and go, oh, Lewis Hall, when every deal that we've wanted to do, we've not done? And I just think Lewis Hall, again, fits into that category of being very expensive. It seems to be okay this summer for Manchester United to say, just got the Golan Bridge intro. I have to watch it back. It seems to be, I don't know when this became okay, but I'm sure many of you are going to agree with me this. It seems to me that it's become okay for Manchester United to basically dream. And what I mean by that is, it seems to have become an okay thing for United to go and say, we really would like to buy this player. We would love to buy this player and then not buy them. How many times this summer have we done that? We would love to buy this player, but we don't want to pay that much money. And you can write a list about everybody that we've done that with, because it's certainly become a thing. I'm not okay with it. I don't think it's a good thing, but you know, some people are all right with it, I suppose. In relation to Lewis Hall, I'll believe it when I see it. I'm sort of at that point now where, yeah, I think it's too late for dreaming. We're either going to do deals for Ollie Watkins and Lewis Hall and Kone, or we're not. And until I see proper evidence of it, I'm a little bit sceptical. So I've spoken to you about Amas. Just a couple of other updates from The Athletic before we move on to something else. It looks like we will not be signing a centre-back. This was in The Athletic this morning. Martinez's injury is minor muscular, so no concerns there. The De Ligt injury is slowly but surely coming back. And obviously that leaves Maguire, Yarrow, Heaven, Luke Shaw can play centre-back. So no centre-back on the horizon for Manchester United at the moment. The Athletic also talk about Xerxes and say that there is interest from Italy and Premier League clubs around Xerxes. I must admit, it's starting to look, when you look at the last 24 hours, like Xerxes could be heading out the door. Now, I would be over the moon with that. Spent a lot of time liking Xerxes and still do like him. And he's definitely a player I would wish all the best to. But 100% a player that I would be looking to move on. My only concern is why it's a loan deal and not a permanent deal. So looks like Xerxes could be heading out. That's in The Athletic this morning. Italian and Premier League clubs. But as we said yesterday, this would probably be a loan deal and not a full-time deal. Manchester Evening News saying that sales could be a priority for Manchester United over the coming weeks as well, which sort of fits back in with what we were saying on the show last night. Are we in a position where Man United need to sell to buy? I don't think we are. I think Man United desperately do want to sell, and when you think about it, and again, I suppose it's very, very similar. Middlesbrough are interested in Vitek. Vitek and Amas, I don't think United really care whether they're getting good value or not. If they can get 15 million for Vitek and Amas, it's shit money. They're worth more than that, but it's still 15 million. So the wrong type of people are leaving the club again. Let's be very, very clear. You know, Amas and Vitek really, in my opinion, should both be having another year out on loan. I don't think that they're players that Man United should be looking to sell on, but it would be 15 million of profit for the club to bring into the club. So I think that Man United will be selling players. Unfortunately, we won't be selling the players that we want to sell. I mean, even Xerxes isn't going to... And look, people say we're unlucky about Ugarte. Savage says the Amas news is shocking. I'll say it again. Well, it is shocking, but it's not shocking in the sense of how the football club is run, is it? But some people say, well, we were a bit unlucky with Ugarte because that would have been a player we were going to sell. We weren't going to sell Ugarte. Who was going to buy Ugarte? No one was going to buy Ugarte. He was going to be a loan deal where we would have paid half his wages. So we weren't going to sell Ugarte. We're not going to sell Xerxes. We're going to loan him. And look, I think that there is a recurring theme here that we can't sell players that we need to sell. So we sell young players underpriced. And the biggest example of that is Alvaro. You know, went to Benfica for next to nothing and they turned a massive profit on him in 18 months to Real Madrid. So, yeah, I mean, look, you could spend an hour talking about it, but I'm sure we will be selling, but I don't think we need to sell to buy. I think in relation to... You can get confused with sell to buy in the sense that, well, I suppose technically it is sell to buy. We're not going to buy a left winger while Rashford's at the club. And we're not going to buy a striker while Xerxes is at the club. Is that technically sell to buy? I suppose it is. However, I don't think it's because United don't have the money. I think it's because they want to move somebody on before that, you know, that player's moved on. So we're not buying a left winger anymore because Marcus Rashford's staying, and we won't buy a striker until Xerxes's gone. So I suppose technically it is sell to buy, but I think it's more about, the places in the squad, if you know what I mean. Left back over left winger, I've already spoken to you about this morning. Yeah, we've spoken about that. Alex Scott, we've spoken about that. No centre back, we've spoken about that. Let me just get into a couple of your comments here. Now, I always struggle doing this, but hopefully it's going to work. Why doesn't it work? What did I do on holiday for this? Was it that? See what happens. Bear with me. It's not done a thing. It's not done anything. I've completely lost my live chat now. That's not worked at all. I mean, I do like doing it on my phone, but I'm a little bit confused as to why it's... that's really useful, that is. Completely knocked my live chat off completely now. Make sure you're sharing the video, by the way. We've got nearly 9,000 watching. I've got absolutely no idea what I've just done. I'm hitting stuff. Hoping it's going to work. What is that? I don't want to click that. I don't know what that'll do. Doesn't look good. What about you? What do you do? I did it again. I don't know why I did that. I press buttons that I just shouldn't press. We're back. I don't know. You start pressing buttons and it says, we're not happy about that. Buttons, I think that's the... This is how Coxie does deals, as someone in the chat says. Yeah, I'm just not going to press any buttons ever again now. We'll leave it. Yeah. There's a button you can press to focus in on, you know, the top comments, but it isn't working. So we will fix that for next time. Unfortunately, I have got a little laptop here, but the live chat's not working on that either. I have done it outside before. I don't really get why it's doing that. Sheep in the background. Okay, let's go up there. Is it hot, Mark? It's okay. Who do you think? Sorry, I'm going to go through some of your comments now. Who do you think the midfielder will be? What a great question to have in the morning. Who do I think the midfielder will be? Bloody hell. I genuinely do not know. I know what I know and what I've told you. I know that we've spoken to Kone. We haven't really spoken to anybody else. There was, and I think I did mention it to you, there was, and I suppose it's bullshit, but there was, up next, Engineer Bridge teaching us how to rotate an image, says Slazy. There was a story last week which was very much around if Alex Scott became available, United would move. Well, he is available and we haven't moved. So, yeah. Are they selling to cover Rashford wage again, says Keel? I'll come back to that in a moment. So look, in relation to the third midfielder, I think United have sort of backed themselves into a corner as well. And it's funny, isn't it? Because you still get these accounts who start talking about Amorim to distract. And they've almost got, you can predict their strategy. When the pressure starts to come onto the Glazers and Ineos and the board, they'll start talking about Amorim, which is totally irrelevant now. And they will also start talking about how we shouldn't overpay on transfers and wages. That's a well-known strategy too. And I think the club have backed themselves into a little bit of a corner in the sense that they made it very, very clear that they didn't want to pay the transfer fee for Elliot Anderson. They made it very, very clear that they didn't want to pay 90 for Tonali. They made it very, very clear that they didn't want to pay 85 for Mateus Fernandez. So, and that's what I was going to say, actually. Have you noticed as well how these PR merchants for the club, if I've seen this post once, I've seen it 100 times in the last 3 weeks, and I'm sure you're all going to go, I've seen this. So you're looking on social media, see what's going on with United, and you'll see it. I think it's amazing this summer transfer window, how nobody's got a clue what Man United are going to do. We'll probably just sign a player out of the blue again. I'm loving it. I'm loving this summer how, you know, nobody's got a clue what's happening with Manchester United. Oh, I'm loving it this summer how all the ITKs and the journalists haven't got a clue and United will just drop an amazing signing out of nowhere. And I'm like, I'm not loving this at all. I'm not loving this. What are you talking about? What is this? You're sitting in your kitchen figuring a way to be positive. What are we loving? What are we not knowing? Like, what is great about this transfer window? And I see it all the time. People going, I'm loving this window. I'm loving how nobody knows what's going on and we'll probably just drop a signing out of nowhere. I'm like, fucking hating this transfer window. And also, correct me if I'm wrong, 24 hours before Tielemans was signed, I said, has he got a release clause? Because I knew we were bloody signing him. Tchouaméni, I knew he was signing a bloody new contract. I knew he was our dream. I knew he was our dream target in March. I know that we spoke to Kone before it came out. So where is all this secret news people are talking about? It's not even relevant. Was it a secret that we were in talks for Mateus Fernandes and we bottled it? Was it a secret that we wanted Elliot Anderson for 9 months and we bottled it? Was it a secret that we wanted Tonali and we bottled it? I mean, I don't actually know where this sort of nonsense arises from, because I don't know, the goalposts get moved all the time. Apparently United are presiding over a secret summer of brilliance, and we're not. We're not presiding over a secret summer at all. I mean, we've publicly been humiliated on numerous deals. And was it not Fabrizio Romano that said the Edison deal had fallen through and United still haven't confirmed it? So where's all this tight-lipped shit bollocks coming from? Loads of stuff has leaked out from Man United this summer. Absolutely loads. Rashford coming back, United have said nothing. We all know he's coming back. Edison deal falling through, United said nothing, and it had fallen through. Mateus Fernandes fell through. So I don't think we are having some sort of secret love-in at all. Everybody pretty much knows what's going on at the club. But to answer the question, I've sort of deviated a little bit there. What do I think is going on with the midfield? Well, I think United are very easy to read. And ultimately, we refuse to pay for Anderson. We refuse to play for Tonali. We refuse to pay for Bruno Guimarães. We refuse to pay for Mateus Fernandes. And if Tchouaméni becomes available, we'll probably refuse to pay for him as well. So all our top targets, we refuse to pay for. My prediction is we will not pay a lot of money for lower level targets. So as much as we like Alex Scott, there is no way we're going to give £80 million to Bournemouth for a player that's down the list. And what I mean by that is we wouldn't pay 85 for Mateus Fernandes. We wouldn't pay 90 for Tonali. We wouldn't pay 100 and something for Anderson. And I think we'd all agree that they're probably worth it. And they were higher up Man United's list. So we're not going to go and spend 80 on Scott, whether you think we should do or not, because he's down our list and we've walked away. It'd be like... For Man United to spend a lot of money on a signing now, it would be like wanting a Ferrari and not wanting to pay the price for it because you think it's too expensive. And then later in the summer, paying the same price for the Ferrari for an Audi. There's nothing wrong with an Audi, but it wasn't what we wanted. And we'd look bloody stupid and United know it. So they're not, I can't see them spending big on anybody now because they've set their own stall out. So I would anticipate that it's going to be some... I mean, it's hard to figure out. I think it's Kone. I do think it's Kone. And I'm okay with it, but I do think it's Kone because I can't see who it's going to be. I know some people are scared it's going to be Sanderberg, but I just don't think that. I don't think they're that stupid to do something as underwhelming as that. They're not ambitious enough to go and get Scott or Enmecha. They're not going to overspend on Baleba, who's not worth 60, let alone 70. So I think it will be Kone. I think Kone is the one deal left that gives them a little bit of praise and, you know, is within their parameter. So I still think it will be Kone. And he's also the only player that we've spoken to in the last 2 weeks. So I think it will be Kone, but... you know, I wouldn't bet on it. As for the left back, a few people talking about Bergvall this morning. I'm a big fan of Bergvall. I've not heard anything about Man United and Bergvall, and it would be hilarious to me if we overpaid on Bergvall to help Spurs pay for Tonali and Mateus Fernandes, which is where we should have been going. But that would be a real stark reminder again of where we are in the grand scheme of things. With regards to left-back, haven't got a bloody clue. I wouldn't be surprised if we went and did something like Diouf from West Ham because he's cheap, even though I don't think he's good enough. I wouldn't be surprised if we went and did that. And, I do hold hope that maybe somebody like an Ollie Watkins would be decent. Is Bergvall off to Sunderland then? Did someone say he's off to Sunderland? It wouldn't be the most shocking move in the world, but I suppose they have got European football. But no, it fell apart, says Theo. Bergvall will go somewhere because that's just £50 million easy for Spurs to get back. Yeah. Somebody said it was a fake Ornstein tweet. Be very, very careful. I've spent time over the last week blocking these accounts. They do put in their bio, a lot of them, that it's satire. But I saw one this morning talking about Rashford, and it was really quite a clever scam. So they had a picture of Rashford, a picture of Carrick, and then it had a video clip of Ornstein. But above that, it had like a quote from Ornstein saying that Atletico Madrid and a couple of Premier League clubs are moving for Rashford for £40 million. And you can see Ornstein's clip moving. But if you listen to the clip, he's talking about referees. So there's a lot. And it had 350 retweets. So there's a lot of fake quotes. I mean, Stephen Railston from Manchester Evening News called one out yesterday. There's a lot of people getting a lot of interaction off fake quotes and stuff this morning, this summer. So just be very careful, because there seems to be a lot of morons falling for it. So you just have to double check. Yeah. So Bergvall to Sunderland probably isn't true, but I'm looking at that in the live chat. So there we go. I know Forest and Newcastle were looking at Bergvall, but I've not heard anything for about a week and a half there. Mark, are you genuinely concerned about United's transfer activity? Well, going back to what I said at the start, I mean, there are a number of big aggregators on X. I mean, whether they're big anymore, I don't know. But, you know, UTD Report, UTD District. And as I said, it was UTD District this morning that I saw a post where they basically said, it's been good recruitment from Manchester United. It's not been good recruitment. I don't know who put the post out. It's not good recruitment. It's factually not good recruitment. And I don't know why you're rimming the Glazers about it, because I have a right to say that. And, you know, I certainly get a lot of it back. So I'm allowed to say it. And it's not good recruitment. It's factually not good recruitment because United wanted Edison, Fernandez, Tonali, Tchouaméni. So how can it be good recruitment when they don't get any of those? It's hopefully going to be work. But if your plan is to do something and you don't do it, look, if your plan's to go on holiday to LA and you don't do it, and your second plan's to go on holiday to Japan and you don't do it, and your third plan is to go on holiday to Spain and you don't do it, and your fourth plan is to go to Australia and you don't do it, but your fifth plan is to go down to Cornwall, doesn't mean that Cornwall's not going to be a bad holiday, but it wasn't your priority, was it? And I think that's what I'm saying. It's like, this is not good recruitment because it wasn't their plan. They've literally gone down the list again. Mr. Han says, has anybody given an excuse as to why Kone talks have stalled? Improves our first 11, not ridiculous price or wage, and not competition from other clubs. Why are they dragging their feet? I mean, I will answer this one. It's quite easy. Why have we not? So I suppose the question is, why have we not signed Kone when he's the only midfielder that we've spoken to since we signed Tielemans? To which there are multiple answers. There could be we don't want to do the deal anymore. It could be that we're desperately trying to have a look at other options before we do the deal. It could be that we are waiting until the end of the month to try and force the price down with Roma, who apparently have got to make a payment to UEFA. Or it could be that Kone's on holiday for a couple of weeks and we're waiting for him to come back. Or it could be that we don't want to do the deal for a couple more weeks, so it saves us a couple of weeks in wages. So, yeah, as Neil said, it could be because we're just tight. So there could be plenty of reasons. Opinion piece, I think we're signing Kone and I think we're waiting to drive the price down and not pay his wages for a couple of weeks. I really do think Man United, are that cheap. So I think it probably is something to do with that. Do you think Marcus Rashford will stay at Manchester United? I think it's absolutely embarrassing. I think it's absolutely embarrassing on Manchester United's part that Rashford's coming back. To make a song and dance about removing him and his wage and force, you know, effectively kicking him out of the club, and then him going off and rebuilding his career, which he has, and then both parties are having to get back together because nobody wants him, I think it's really embarrassing. I think it's really embarrassing. And Rashford is hindered by the contract. Wait, how can you be hindered when you're being paid that much? And United just look foolish. Like, they look so stupid. But I don't think it's absolutely guaranteed he's going to stay. But I think it's embarrassing for the club. Really embarrassing. And it's just a... I do think there are grounds to sack Berarda and Wilcox. If you're a competent owner, I think there are big grounds to sack him. They've cost the club so much money. They've made so many public mistakes. And Rashford's one of them. You know, they celebrate it and put him in the bomb squad. And then he's back within 12 months on the same wage. He's not even coming back on a cheaper wage. He's coming back as the top earner at the football club. He's the best paid player at the football club. Marcus Rashford comes back as the best paid footballer in our club. That is fucking embarrassing. And it's not on Rashford's part, on Man United's part. It is embarrassing. He is coming back as our number one paid player. And I know some people are happy about it, but you can be happy about it, but you can still mock the club. They're an embarrassment. They cheered and PR'd it all over town when he left. And now they're bringing him back as the biggest earner because they're crap at their job. I'd sack them. I'd get rid of them. But I've been saying that for a long time. Anyway, great show this morning. Nice to be out in the garden. Hope you enjoyed it as well. I will be back with you. What day is it? Tuesday. We are, 8 o'clock show tonight, 2 o'clock show this afternoon. Do I think there'll be any big news today? At some point, there will be some news. I don't know when, but we will be here for it. Take care, everyone. Stay safe and have a great day. Thank you very much for watching.
Hey, press X, don't you?